breeze.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to a historic episode of the Jack Benny Show. This is the episode where Dennis Day comes back after being in the Navy for a couple of years. I hope you're all going to enjoy this episode. What a great St. Patrick's Day present. Perfect time to bring Dennis on back, as he's one of the more famous Irish tenors out there. And he brings a lot to the show. And starting next season, he will have his own show along with Phil Harris in the 1946-47 season. They started up their own shows. For this season, he finishes out this year and does a great job being back. I wish they might have played him in the later years, almost, because they played him sort of like the Gracie Allen character on the Burns and Allen show, with this kind of dumb wit, that his own kind of logic to the world, just like Gracie has. And I wish they, because with her they played it so broad and it gave them so many things to do with. With Dennis, it was they more pigeonholed him in there, and I think I like his performances in a lot of cases previous, say, to 1950 than I do after that. But I love it that he's come back. I love it that they feature him quite a bit just this in this first episode back. And they just hit the ground running with Dennis. And so I hope you enjoy it. We'll see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So for your own real, deep-down smoking enjoyment, smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
At 49, American.
Excuse me, this is Kenny Delmar. Excuse me, I have a special announcement to make. Herbert Titan cigarettes are back. Good news for those who prefer a cork-tipped cigarette. Herbert Titan is back, and there's something about them you like. Herbert Titan is back after being made only for the armed forces. Yes, Herbert Titan is back. That cork-tipped cigarette, Herbert Titan, available now for you. Yes, Herbert Titan is back. And remember, there's something about them you like. There's something about them you like. This is Kenny Delmar. I trust you will welcome home Herbert Titan. There's something about them you like.
The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Today, March 17th, is St. Patrick's Day. As you all know, St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. So today, we bring you a man who was run out of Waukegan, Jack Benny.
You said man there anyway. Thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. And Don, for your information, I wasn't run out of Waukegan. It was merely a request by the city fathers and mine. And being a sharp guy, I took the hint and two shirts and left. But let's not talk about me. After all, this is St. Patrick's Day. That's why I'm wearing this shamrock in my lapel.
Shamrock?
Yes.
That's a moth that took a bite out of that $12 suit and turned green.
All right, don't be funny. This is a very good suit. Taste it. I mean, feel it. Anyway, why aren't you wearing something green today?
I am wearing something green. See?
Oh, yes, yes. What is it?
It's that gold bracelet you gave me for Christmas.
Mary, that's an old joke.
All I know is I polish my other bracelets. This one, the gardener takes care of.
Well, that's appreciation. For after all, Mary, it wasn't easy to get that bracelet. I spent over 3 hours at that claw machine. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Good, I didn't know it was going to be that good.
Jackson.
Me. What?
You're talking about St. Patrick's Day. Did I ever tell you the one about that friend of mine who got an Irish car?
An Irish car?
Yeah, every time you blow the horn, it plays Ireland Must Be Heaven because my motor came from there. Oh, Harris, you're the Barry Fitzgerald of the Bobby Sox.
Now pull out your garters and get out of here, will you? Put on your garters, ready? You always try to run
Say,
one...
Jack.
What?
Jack, since this is St. Patrick's Day, don't you think we ought to do
this program is starting out like we had no rehearsals at all. You want to know something? We did it. Everybody walks in anytime they want. Hey, Jackson, they holler. What is it?
Well, Jack, this being St. Patrick's Day, don't you think we ought to do a little play for our Irish listeners?
Well, we're doing better than that, Don. Tonight, for the first time since his release from the Navy, Dennis Day, the smiling Irish songbird, will be back with us.
Oh, so the kid's coming back, huh, Jackson?
Yep.
Gosh, Jack, Dennis has been gone for 2 years. I'll bet the Navy has changed him a lot.
I'll bet it has, too. Anyway, he ought to be here by now. I think I'll call his house and see what's keeping him.
Say, Mabel, what is it, Gaitrim? Mr. Benny's line is flashing.
Yeah, I wonder what Bloomer Girl wants now.
I'll find out.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Huh?
Dennis Day? What's his number?
Okay, I'll call you back when I get him.
Say, Mabel, did you hear Mr. Benny's program last week?
Yeah, Ray Milland was on it. Gosh, he's wonderful, even if he is the lost weekend.
Listen, Mabel, if you think Milland is the lost weekend, you should have a date with Benny.
Those are my sentiments exactly. You want to know something, Gertrude?
What?
The contest has been over for 6 weeks, and I still can't stand him. Yeah. You know, Mabel, 2 weeks ago he asked me to go to the Academy Award ceremonies, but I had another date.
Gee, Gertrude, how come Mr. Benny always asks you to all those swanky affairs?
Well, why shouldn't he? After all, my mother gave him the best years of her life.
You know, I wouldn't mind going out on a date with Mr. Benny, but he's a sneaky type.
Sneaky? Yeah, he's the kind who lures an unsuspecting girl into his car, drives her out to a dark spot, pretends he's out of gear, stops the car, and then spends the next 2 hours talking about his picture. It's enough to discourage a person, believe me. I'll say. You know, Mabel, I got a confession to make. Once I let Mr. Benny kiss me.
Why, Gertrude Gearshift.
Say, tell me, Gertrude, what are his kisses like?
Well, it's like when you're blowing bubble gum and the bubble collapses against your face.
Well, between you and me, I'd rather have the gum. Dennis Day's number doesn't answer. I better tell Blue Eyes about it.
Hello? Oh, we'll try him again later, Gertrude. Goodbye. Oh, say, Gertrude, what are you doing tonight? Tomorrow night? Tuesday night? Wednesday night? Thursday night? Christmas Eve? Oh, you're going to visit your mother. Well, don't be surprised when you walk in. Goodbye. Well, we might as well get on with the show till Dennis gets here. Come on, Phil, let's have a band number.
played by Phil Harris and his Hour of Harm Orchestra. Hey, Phil, you know, this is St. Patrick's Day. Why don't you do something for the occasion, something Irish?
I did. I put a harp in my band.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You got a girl playing it. See, you know, her fingers must get calloused and sore plucking on all those strings.
Well, it's her own fault, Jackson. She forgot the bow, so let her do the best she can.
Our orchestra leader for 10 years now. Phil, you don't use it. Come in.
I beg your pardon, but hello again.
Dennis! Dennis!
Well,
Dennis. Welcome back, kid. Welcome back. Gee, it's good to see you. Gosh, Mary, doesn't he look wonderful?
Oh, he sure does.
Oh, boy, I never expected this. Are you going to kiss me too, Miss Livingston?
Why, certainly, Dennis.
Doggone, Dennis, I can't get over. You look so mature. You've changed so.
Well, sure he's changed, Jackson. This kid's been in the Navy for 2 years. He's grown up.
Yeah, up.
Dennis, tell us about yourself. Did you enjoy your 2 years in the Navy?
I sure did, Miss Livingston. The Navy's wonderful. I went all over the South Pacific, and I saw plenty.
I imagine you did, kid. I bet you had a lot of fun, too. Say, Dennis, I've been wanting to ask you something. Tell me, kid, how about those waves?
That's what made me seasick.
Yeah, grown up.
Yeah. You know, Dennis, I was all over the South Pacific, too, and I ran into some pretty rough seas. In fact, once I was tossed overboard.
Oh, I was tossed overboard lots of times.
You were?
Yeah, but the captain made the fellas cut it out.
Dennis, the boys kept throwing you overboard. That's terrible.
Oh, it wasn't so bad. The Japs kept throwing me back.
He was the pickle in the middle.
Yeah.
Say, Dennis, when you first joined the Navy, how did they know how to classify you? I mean, how did they know what rank to give you?
Oh, that was easy, Miss Livingston. First, I had to fill out a lot of forms, answer a lot of questions, and then for 2 days, they gave me a written test.
For 2 days? That must have been quite a test.
And after it was all over, they made me an ensign.
An ensign? An ensign?
Yeah. I wonder what they'd have made me if I'd have passed.
Maybe it's just as well you didn't. We won the war this way, you know? Well, Dennis, we're all anxious to hear you sing again. How about it?
Well, gee, Mr. Benny, I don't know why you want me to do a song. You've already got two singers.
Two singers? What are you talking about, kid?
You know, those two fellows who sing...
Oh, them. Well, Dennis, they're not exactly singers. See, they're tobacco auctioneers.
Oh.
You see, we've changed sponsors. We changed sponsors after you left. Tell them about it, Don.
Okay. Now, Dennis, you studied Morse code in the Navy, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now listen to this. Tick, 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 tick. Tick, 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 tick. What does that mean?
Tick, 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 tick.
Yes, tick, 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 tick.
Tick, 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 tick.
Wait, what are you two tick-ticking about?
I don't know about him, but I've got a loose tooth.
Oh.
Dennis, tick, 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 tick stands for LSMFT.
Oh.
Now, what does LSMFT stand for?
Tick, 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 tick.
No, Dennis, look, LSMFT stands for Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Oh.
Yes.
And not only that, Lucky Strikes are made of the finer, the lighter, the naturally milder tobacco.
And that, Dennis, is the whole story.
Oh, boy, I hope they make a picture out of it.
Yeah, starring Sonny Puffs. Well, come on, Dennis, we all want to hear a song. What's it going to be?
Well, since today is St. Patrick's Day, I thought I'd sing Danny Boy.
Well, that's swell. Go, sure. Go right ahead.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. Summer's gone, and all the roses falling. It's you must go, and I.
Tell you that Fred Allen has the same old program, the same old jokes, the same
old... Oh, wait a minute, Jack. That's not fair. I've heard all of Fred's programs, and they've been very funny.
They have. And Mary, I wouldn't mind if his joke just laid there. But they crawl out of the radio and stain your rugs. Some program.
That just shows what you know, Jackson. I think the funniest thing in radio is Allen's Alley.
Oh, you do, huh? Yeah.
I think so, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
I think so, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
I think Mr. Benny is much funnier than Mr. Allen.
I think so, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
Yes, I do. And what's so great about Allen's Alley? Anybody with half an ounce of talent can do that.
Oh, yeah? I'd like to see you do it.
Well, I'll just show you, sister. Phil, get your band ready while I put this clothespin on my nose so I'll sound like Fred Allen. Now, I'll go down to the alley, and you kids will play the parts of the people that live there. Okay, Phil, music.
And so, Kenny Delmar, I won't say it's been very windy, but last night...
Mr. Allen!
Well, if it isn't Cleveland. Jesus. Cleveland, Kenny Delmar and I were just discussing the high winds we've been having here.
Well, Mama says that all the wind is caused by the pickets.
The pickets?
Yes. She says they carry their signs too high and walk too fast. And Mama also says...
Just a minute, Cleveland. I have a brother-in-law in the last row who's not quite through laughing. Anyway, I imagine your mother knows all about pickets.
I understand she's been picketing Lindy's restaurant because the lamb chops look better in their panties than she does in slacks.
Oh, Mom,
I don't know. You write this stuff on Thursday, and then on Sunday, nothing happens. What was that, Cleveland?
Oh, Mama doesn't wear slacks anymore.
She doesn't. Why did she stop wearing slacks?
A policeman gave her a ticket for pulling a trailer without a license.
Well, so much for your mother and her homegrown bustle. We've got to get down to Benny's Boulevard.
What is your question for tonight?
Our question is Fred Allen or Jack Benny the better comedian?
Shall we leave?
As one of my eyes said to the other, let's pack our bags and go. Well, I see Senator Harris is home. There's a 10-gallon hat and a 5-gallon jug on the porch. Let's knock on the bunghole and see what he's got to say.
Somebody, I say somebody knock.
Yes, I...
Harris is the name. Senator Harris, that is. I'm from the West.
From the West,
When
eh?
I'm east of the Mississippi River, I'm in enemy territory. I hate the East. My favorite actress is Mae West.
Look.
No
look.
Man living can make me go see East Lynn.
All
I
right,
never
then.
Go out of the house on Easter Sunday.
Senator.
When I bake bread, I won't use yeast.
That's yeast.
I thought you'd get a rise out of it. Son, what you got on your mind? This is a free country.
Well, I
never saw anyone like you, son. Your mouth just like the front door of General Motors. Wide open, but nothing's coming out.
You're tired, eh? Well, Senator, the question tonight is, who is the better comedian? Fred Allen or Jack Benny?
I brought it up in the Senate. Now watch this one, son. It's tricky. I brought it up in the Senate, and it made Senator Tidings glad. Ha, ha, ha. Glad Tidings. That's a pun, son.
I heard it.
That's an anecdote, you nanny goat.
Now, wait a minute.
You're like a midget, son. Everything goes over your head. Own up, son. You got a mind like a chick.
What?
A cluck, that is.
Look, Senator, just tell me which comedian you like best, Allen or Benny.
Where's Allen from?
Boston.
How about Benny?
He's from Waukegan.
Waukegan's west of Boston, ain't it?
Yes.
Benny's the one. So long, son.
So long.
Remember the words of Horace Greeley. Go west, young man. West, that is. So long.
So long.
So long.
So long.
So long.
Where's that sound effect man? I suppose the senator has gone back to his newspaper. He spends all night reading Westbrook Pegler. I wonder if Titus Day is at home. He's always so moody.
Howdy, Bob.
Well, Mr. Day, I see you're at home.
Yep, day in and day out, days in.
I see, but you say your eyes look all red.
Been crying, Bob, reading a sad book.
What's the title of it?
Forever Amber.
But Titus, Forever Amber isn't a sad book.
'Tis when you're my age, Bob.
Well, I have a very important question to ask you tonight. Who do you think is the better comedian, Fred Allen or Jack Benny?
Well, Bob, that's a moot question.
Moot question?
Yep. Moot be Allen, moot be Benny.
I see. Well, which one do you consider the better comedian?
Never hear them myself. When they come on, I put my radio out in the hen house.
In the hen house? Why?
Steps up production. Every time Allen and Benny lay an egg, my hens try to match it.
And that really increases your egg production.
Did up to last Sunday.
What happened last Sunday?
All my hens killed themselves straining. So long, Bob.
Well, I guess Mr. Day has his troubles, just like the city folks. Let's try this next house.
Be people in the middle and the mustard on top. Just the way you like him and the whole rest.
Ah, Mr. Kitzel.
You was expecting maybe Fibble McGee and Molotov?
Tell me, Mr. Kitzel, how is the hot dog business?
Very good, except for one thing. My customers have trouble making up their minds.
Making up their minds? Yeah. To what?
Whether they want the pickle in the middle and the mustard on top, or the mustard in the middle and the pickle on top.
I can see where that would pose quite a problem. Anyway, what I'm trying to find out tonight is who you think is the better comedian, Fred Allen or Jack Benny?
In my house, that is making arguments. My wife, Tallulah, is liking Fred Allen.
And you?
I am liking the great Gildersleeve.
Oh, the great Gildersleeve.
Yes, when Gildersleeve is broadcasting, Tallulah is leaving the room.
I see.
When Fred Allen is broadcasting, I am leaving the room.
What happens when Jack Benny is broadcasting?
Mm-hmm. The radio is leaving the room.
What?
People in the middle and the mustard on top, just the way you like them and the whole rest.
Mr. Kitzel's life would be complete if people could just make up their minds where they want the mustard. Well, here's the last house in the alley. I wonder what a knock here will bring.
Greetings, all. It's time for play. Well, Rogers here with Rondelay.
You have more poems for us tonight?
Oh, indubitably. Have you heard? Said the rum to the gin, I understand you're going steady with Ravaland.
No.
Or I said to myself, this is not for me, as I picked up the dice and threw a three.
No.
Or my mother has rolled her stockings down since she heard Van Johnson is back in town.
That's done. Tonight we are trying to find out who is the better comedian, Fred Allen or Jack Benny.
Precisely why I'm here. I have written a poem.
And what is your what will I get this on, Piper? And what is your comedian's poem called?
Allen or Benny?
How does it go?
Allen or Benny? The question rings, and the nation is put to a test. From city to hamlet, you hear the cry, is Allen or Benny best? Allen has bags, and Benny is cheap, and they're both on Sunday night. So millions of people from coast to coast tune in to hear them fight. And I often wonder just what it means as they hurl their epitaphs. For while they're knocking each other out, Cass Daly gets all the laughs.
Well, I never thought of that. Thank you, Rochester Openshaw. And now Phil Harris and his No Goodman Orchestra will play Onesie Twosie, because that's as high as they can count. Take it, boys.
We'll be back in just a minute, but first, here is my good friend, L.A. Speed Riggs.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Yes, sir. L-S-M-F-T.
Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
At market after market, Lucky Strike consistently selects and buys fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. This fine Lucky Strike tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike.
The famous tobacco auctioneers heard on tonight's programmer, Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina. And Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
At 49, American.
This is Basil Rysdale speaking for Lucky Strike. L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T, L-S-M-F-T.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
Dennis.
Howdy, bub.
We're through with that.
Oh.
Dennis, I just wanted to tell you that we're all very happy to have you back with us again.
I'm glad to be back, Mr. Benny, and I want to thank Larry Stevens for doing such a swell job on the show while I was away.
Well, we all feel the same way, Dennis. Good night, folks.
Yeah, night.
National Broadcasting Company.
F.I., Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony, Incorporated. Next time, try Zuni, a new nail polish created to give fingertips a more lasting beauty. Insist on a Zuni manicure at your favorite beauty salon. You'll like the texture of Zuni, spelled Z-U-N-I. Here's the Chapel Quartet at 10:15.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show. Yesterday's podcast was for all of those of you, I think there are only two, who've asked me to do shorter podcasts. So yesterday's was only 2 minutes long. Today's will be for those of you, the hundreds and hundreds, okay, dozens of you who like me to do my long podcasts. David is someone who emails me quite a bit, and his last email went through a lot of interesting ground, so I could just do a podcast show probably on David's email every week if I wanted to, but anyway, here, I hope he doesn't mind. He didn't say I could use this, but he didn't say I couldn't use it, so I'm going to go ahead and read part of David's email and then answer it as we go. David says, "What fun it has been these last few weeks to hear the Jack Benny Palm Springs broadcasts. They really added a fun dimension to the cast's exploits. Again, blending reality with fiction of the show and the show within a show." And then he goes on to say, "I live in Southern California, and so it happens my family is vacationing near Palm Springs this weekend. So I just had the pleasure of listening to one of the Palm Springs shows while I'm actually there, albeit 70 years later." That's pretty cool. And now we're all jealous of David. "Did you know there is a street in Palm Springs named after Jack?" I did not know that. New information for me. I didn't realize there deserves to be one for sure. "Have you noticed how much humor the writers got out of what went unsaid?" He says, "There are many examples of this technique, especially how the cast will refer to Jack's toupee without actually saying the word toupee. Somehow it makes it much funnier." I agree with that. Certainly, I don't think anyone referred to Rochester as ever being black or Negro, but there were certainly situations where it came up and it was obvious that he was black, though never said. And I do think that made the situations funnier. Usually, it was some reference that himself would make. And then, of course, the toupee jokes. A lot of the fat jokes were made without actually saying that Don was fat, that sort of thing. We all knew what they were talking about, and so it did make it funny. It made it like you were part of an inside joke or something. Back to Palm Springs for a second. I think it's cool that they... I didn't realize until playing the episodes in this way, where I play them from exactly 70 years ago, 75 years ago, 60 years ago, that sort of thing. I knew that they went to Palm Springs a lot. I just didn't realize that it was the same time of year every year. So for the past number of weeks, we've had a bunch of Palm Springs episodes, which is kind of cool. The whole cast is like in Palm Springs for 3 weeks or whatever it is, a month. And I would have never, just from hearing the shows in order, I wouldn't have really figured out that it was a certain time of year. But obviously it is, because he was there in our 41, 46, and 51 seasons that we've been playing. And I'll get more to that later, too. Let's see. And they didn't resort to radio jokes too often, where the gag relies on the listener not seeing something. But when they did, it was put to great comic effect. The last time I wrote you, I mentioned Mr. Billingsley's drum rolls as an example. And that's true. I loved Mr. Billingsley and his drum. Another example I just heard was when the gang is on a hike in Palm Springs and learns that gold nuggets have sometimes been found on the trail. Jack says, "How interesting." And after a beat, Mary says, "Jack, get up off your knees." Hilarious. And it could only work in radio. I am a screenwriter, and I guess it is similar to how I sometimes write off-screen gags. Now, I've noticed this too. Recently, you know, you listen to enough radio and you start watching TV and you start being able to see the similarities and differences. It's always interesting how really expensive things that you couldn't do on a television show, they'll talk about as them happening off-screen. And the way they talk about them often reminds you of radio. You'll hear them saying a joke about somebody doing something on a plane flight or something that they, of course, can't afford to do. And so they'll paint you a story with their words. And I kind of like that. And a lot of shows do that, sitcoms especially, because sitcoms usually pretty much take place in somebody's living room and in their kitchen. And you see those same places over and over and over again. And by describing places outside of the home, it makes the sitcoms seem to take place on a larger canvas than it really does. Have you ever come across a copy of that 365-day Jell-O dessert recipe book Don won't stop talking about? If you do, you ought to post pictures. I don't have one. I have another Jell-O book that I can post pictures of, but it's not the 365-day Jell-O book. It's one with Jack and Mary talking about it. It's interesting. I'll talk about that for just a second. It's like from 1937, I believe. And apparently, my guess would be somebody found a whole warehouse full of these or something. Because about 10 years ago, they started popping up on eBay for like a dollar, you know, where you could buy them really cheap for just beautiful copies. I ordered mine. I think I got mine for $1 or $1.50 or something. And I think shipping costs more than that. So then I got shipped out. It's nice to have. But then they started becoming, of course, when they sold all out of them, they became kind of rare again or more rare. And so now I think they're selling them for like $10 each or more. But they're interesting little books. And I will share more about a picture of one later. I'll tell you what, since I'm talking about it, I will find a picture and post a picture of one, at least the cover, for this podcast. That'll be our picture for the podcast. But I'll try and post more pictures from it sometime later. Let's see. He says, "I wonder what would happen if today I sent a dime or a 10-cent stamp to Don Wilson in care of General Foods in Battle Creek." You know, the smiley face. I've always wondered that myself. I would love it if you could send off and then somebody at the factory would like ship back this ancient thing that they've been waiting for someone to... You envision like a 95-year-old man sitting at a desk waiting for someone to send him 10 cents so he can send you out this 365-day Jell-O calendar or Jell-O dessert calendar thing. Anyway, David, a really nice letter. Then a P.S. is, "In what years did they broadcast from Palm Springs, more than just 1941 and 1946? Well, if you've been listening, David, I believe they also did that from 1951, the episodes that were 60 years ago. I just don't think they stayed as long. I think in 51, they were only there for like 2 or 3 weeks. But we did have some from Palm Springs, I'm pretty darn sure, this season. They certainly visited their last season, I remember, in the 1950 season. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's almost every season that they go there sometime around that time frame. Anyway, great letter, David. And, oh, for tonight's episode, what didn't I go through on tonight's episode yet? Oh, yeah. The Shamrock gag from tonight's episode goes all the way back to Jack's first or second season. Well, no, first season, written by Harry Kahn. And so I've seen them reach back before, but I've never seen them reach back to the very first season of the Jack Benny Show for a joke. So that's kind of cool that this one features a joke that's run from all the way back then. And what else about this episode? This is, of course, last week. Jack and Mary were sick, so they didn't do an episode. So they posted a rerun, basically, and I posted that for you so that you can experience that in real time. And this week is the first week that after they're all sick and Jack comes back, they certainly make reference to him being sick. Mary's still not on the episode, but pretty much everybody else is from the cast. I hope you enjoy it, and we will see you guys on Tuesday for the episode from 1941. Oh, I thought I mentioned, too, I was going to talk about yesterday's episode, which I love the premise of, but I thought it makes more sense if I talk about it on, next Saturday, since it's, I might as well talk about the episode that's 75 years old on the 75-year-old episode from next week, if that makes any sense. Because if anyone's I was realizing, if anyone listens to these, like, in chronological order and hears me talking about episodes that are from different seasons, it'll be kind of weird. So I decided I would hold off on that. I will give you a little preview, though. And spoiler warning, 3, 2, 1, sorry. The episode from yesterday had them all switching parts. And that means Jack took on the part of Don took on the part of Jack, Mary took on Kenny's lines, Kenny took on Mary's lines. It was an interesting, fun little change-up, and I don't know if they ever did that again. I don't remember them doing that again, now that I could be showing my Benny ignorance here, and maybe they did it every year, but I don't think so. But it's kind of a fun little piece to listen to. So if you haven't listened to yesterday's, it wasn't a podcast, I just played the episode, but if you haven't listened to, no, it was a podcast. If you haven't listened to yesterday's podcast, give that a listen. And we'll see you guys next time.
65. The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky.
I won't sing Do-Re-Mi. My voice I'll raise to sing in praise of LSMFT.
And you'll praise Lucky's because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Seek and take this tip, my friend. For better taste that's mild and rich, try Lucky's Perfect Blend. No doubt about it, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky, strike, be happy, go lucky, strike today.
Friends, when we say Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette, we mean just that. Not just as good, but better. For Lucky's always give you perfect mildness and rich, true tobacco taste. A happy blending that fine tobacco and only fine tobacco can give. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. That's important because a recent 38-city survey shows that millions of smokers are not happy with their present brand. Now, those smokers, and any smoker who's the least bit discontented, should switch to Lucky Strike. Yes, friends, for complete smoking enjoyment. Be happy, go lucky, because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, Jack Benny has been in bed with a touch of the flu. So yesterday, I decided to drop by and keep him company. As a matter of fact, I read to him for hours.
With almost human tenderness, the rolling waves of the Pacific cast the tiny life raft upon the gleaming white sands of the tropical island.
Just a second, Don.
Oh, what is it, Jack?
Would you please fluff my pillow for me?
Why, sure.
Thanks. Now continue reading, Don.
Realizing that their arduous trip was finally over, Bert lifted Ann out of the raft and carried her to a little clearing among the swaying palm trees. Her clothes were meager and tattered, doing little more than to conceal her wealth of feminine charm. As he reached the clearing, she opened her eyes, and without a word being said, she realized she was safe in his arms. Her eyes showed gratitude, admiration, and love. She reached up and pulled his head down until his lips touched hers in a flaming, passionate kiss. Hmm. 39, he says. Well, I'm going to finish it anyway. It was months before the rescue ship arrived, and during that time, they spent their days exploring the island. It was a tropical paradise covered with coconut palms, breadfruit, and banana trees. One morning, while at the north end of the island, they discovered a cave the sea had hollowed out. Timidly, they entered. And when their eyes became accustomed to the darkness, they were amazed to find, running through one of the walls, a vein of solid gold.
What'd you say, Don? Don? Huh, Don? Don, what'd you say, Don?
Huh? Well, Jack, you fell asleep.
Oh, I'm sorry, Don. See, your voice was so soothing that...
Hello, boss. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. I don't know why I have to stay in bed anyway.
Well, Jack, you better follow the doctor's orders.
But I've been in bed for 2 weeks. Look at all the fun I've missed. The Chicago Cubs spring training at Wrigley Field, a golf tournament at Hillcrest, Jane Wyman's formal dinner party last Wednesday. Of course, I probably wouldn't have gone to Janie's party anyway.
Why not?
He wasn't invited.
I was, too. The second time I called her, she said it was all right. She's a sweet kid.
Boss, it's time for you to take your medicine. I have it here.
Oh, pills, pills, pills.
Come on, open your mouth and swallow it. Here's your aspirin. And here's your Oreomycin. And your four-way cold tablet. And your vitamin pill. And here, take this.
Hey, wait a minute. What was that last thing you made me swallow?
A peach pit. We ain't got no garbage disposal.
Oh, stop with that. Has the mail come yet?
I'll go see.
You know, Don, I'm so tired and bored of staying here in bed. What day is this, anyway?
Why, it's Saturday, March 17th.
Oh, yeah, St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, oh, which reminds me, Jack. Did you hear the one about the Irish girl who was so happy because her boyfriend gave her an engagement ring with a fake diamond?
Why would she be happy to get a fake diamond?
Because it was St. Patrick's Day and she was glad to get a sham rock.
Don, vitamin bat. Don, control yourself. You're shaking the room. Don, stop. Now, Don, stop, or I'll tell everyone it was you who got stuck on the freeway and held up 50,000 cars. Now, watch it.
All right. You want me to finish reading the book?
Nah, I don't think so. Turn on the radio. I want to hear the news.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to bring you some appropriate music in honor of St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, my name is McNamara. I'm the leader of the band.
Hey, that's Dennis.
Although we're few in numbers, we're the finest in the land. We play at wakes and weddings and at every fancy ball.
Don, I want to hear the news. Get another state.
We play the march from
I want the news.
I'll be marching along on the big parade on St. Patrick's Day. I'll be up
hey,
to Dennis me
on this station, too.
I march along the way and swing me over.
Don, try and get the news, will you?
Okay.
And tilt me
I want the news.
To hear to wear enough. Shake hands with all the neighbors and kiss the Collins all.
They're playing his records on every station.
Welcome me to dear old Donegal. There came Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malacca, Mahorn, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Julio, Julio,
down, Donald, try and get the news.
Flanagan,
okay.
Connigan, Lanahan.
I'm sick.
Whenever they got to Zaire.
Don, can't I get the news? Try another station,
will you?
Try another station.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume?
Well, at least he's singing my theme song now.
Oh, no. Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan,
Rafferty,
Lafferty,
Don, turn it off! That silly kid. All I wanted... All I wanted was to hear the news. Yeah, what is it, Rochester?
The mail just came.
Good, good.
Here's a letter in a pink envelope with a lady's handwriting.
Oh, that's probably a get-well card for my girlfriend, Gloria. Hand it to me, Rochester. Let me smell the envelope.
Here you are, boss.
Let's see. Yep, that's from Gloria, all right.
Perfume?
No, hamburger. She works in a drive-in. Ground round Gloria, they call her. You know, she can chop onions faster. Get that, will you please, Rochester?
Yes, sir. Hello, Mr. Benny's residence.
Hello, Rochester. How's Moaning Low?
Oh, well, the boss is all right, but he's still in bed.
I thought he got up Thursday.
He did, but he had a relapse. A
relapse? What happened?
He looked at the calendar, saw it was income tax day, and I caught him just before he hit the floor.
Well, put him on the phone. That's what I want to talk to him about.
Okay. It's for you, boss.
Hello?
Hiya, Jackson. How you feel?
A lot you care. You didn't even come over to visit me.
Well, I wanted to come over, but since you're sick, I thought your house might be guaranteed.
That's quarantine. Guaranteed.
A natural mistake for a chap who celebrated his 21st birthday in the second grade.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what do you want, Phil?
Well, it's about my income tax. I sent it in Thursday, but I don't know if I made it out right.
What do you mean you don't know? Did you list your dependents?
Yeah, I got them all, including the two kids and Remley.
Remley? You listed Frankie as a dependent?
Certainly.
But, Phil, a dependent is someone you support who doesn't do anything. Remley's in your band. Every week he sits in your orchestra with his guitar and say, you're right, he is a dependent.
Yeah, and he's getting self-conscious about it. A couple of weeks ago after the show, he came to me and he said, hey, Curly, I want people to think I'm playing this guitar. Will you please buy me a bow for it?
Well, let's forget about empty. Is there any, is there anything else?
No, so long, Jackson. Look, I'll drop over and see you one of these days.
Thanks, Phil. So long.
Oh, wait a minute. Look, I've been meaning to ask you, will it be all right if Bagby, my piano player, misses Sunday's show?
What's the matter? Is he sick, too?
No, but he just received word that his uncle died.
Oh, that's too bad. Is Bagby taking it hard?
Yeah, he's in deep mourning. He won't drink nothing but Johnny Walker Black Label.
Such devotion. Goodbye, Phil.
So long, Jackson.
Now, let's see. Rochester, where's the mail?
There it is on the bed, and here's the latest Collier's magazine.
Collier's?
Yeah, the one that has that article about you.
Oh, yes, the one I wrote myself. Let's see. Yep, they even have it mentioned right on the cover. From Vaudio to Video via Radio by Jack Benny. Here it is. And, gee, look at that swell picture of me in color.
Oh, wait a minute, Jack. Did you write that article in Collier's?
Uh-huh.
All by yourself? Without your writers?
Certainly. I wouldn't trust my writers with an important article like this. They always try to make everything funny.
But, Jack, they must have some serious moments.
Never. Last week, one of them made out his will, and it was so good he sold it to Red Skelton. Not only that, one of them wrote a letter to his wife.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis. I'm glad you dropped by.
Oh, I just thought I'd come over and cheer you up.
Well, thanks.
You need cheering up. You look awful.
Look, Dennis.
Dennis, what's the matter with you? When you visit someone who's sick, you shouldn't tell them they look awful.
I shouldn't?
No. You're supposed to tell them that they're looking well and that they ought to be up soon.
Oh. Gee, Mr. Benny, you look great. You ought to get up soon.
Thanks.
If you don't get up soon, you won't get up at all.
Dennis!
Oh, now, Jack, don't get aggravated. You'll make yourself sick again.
Well, maybe you're right.
By the way, Dennis, a little while ago, we were listening to the radio, and we heard them playing your records on all the different stations.
Oh, those weren't records, Don. That was me in person.
In person?
Uh-huh.
That's ridiculous. How could you get from one station to another so fast?
I drink Hattacol.
Now, now, look, Dennis. Dennis, listen to me. Look, I'm sick. Look, 11 years ago, when you were just a kid, I discovered you.
Yes, sir.
I had faith in you and thought you'd go places.
Yes, sir.
I introduced you to my sponsor, and he thought you'd go places, too.
Uh-huh.
I put you on my radio program, and the critics heard you, and they said you'd go places. Now, for heaven's sakes, go already.
All right, I'll go, but that's a fine way to treat a fellow who came over to cheer you up.
I'm cheered.
I don't have to stay here, you know. I can go and sing Irish songs on the radio.
I know. Just go.
Yes, sir.
That kid drives me nuts. Say, Don, it's exactly noon. Maybe we can get the 12 o'clock news. Turn on the radio, will you?
Okay.
Tim Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malack, and Horn.
How does he do it? How does he do it? Don, turn it off. It's 12 o'clock. Now, there must be some station that has the news. Here, let me try it. Help me sit up, Don.
Okay, here you are, Jack.
Thanks. We might get it on this station.
And that's what happened in Washington today. This concludes our midday edition of the news.
Oh, darn it.
And now we'll continue with our recorded program. The one and only Cindy Lou will give her interpretation of My Heart Cries for You.
If you're in Arizona, in a party. If you're in Minnesota, I'll be there.
Isn't that awful? Trying to get the news. Don, look, I don't want that. I can't understand why we... Don, did you try the CBS station?
Oh, no, I didn't, Jack. I'll turn on that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, as is our custom every day at this time, we bring you a special attraction. And today in this featured spot, we have the Sportsman Quartet.
Don, the Sportsman, my quartet.
They would like to dedicate their number to their boss, Jack Benny, who for the past 10 days has been sick in bed.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Take it, fellows.
My heart cries for you. Drugstore, I'll follow you. If you are in a market, I'll be there too. Or in a cigarette machine, that will do. Because my love is endless for you. Happy with the present brand of cigarettes you've got. And a recent survey made in over 30 cities shows a million who are not. Then we say that it is time for you to switch to Marlboro Very Tasty Lucky Strike. Be happy and go lucky with the cigarettes you like.
LSMFT,
yes, sirree.
Don, wasn't that nice of the boys to dedicate that song to me?
It certainly was, Jack.
Say, boss, the nurse will be here pretty soon.
Nurse? What nurse?
The doctor called and said he sent him one over.
Oh, fine. Now that I'm better, he sends over a nurse.
In the meantime, you better take your medicine. Come on, boss, open your mouth.
Wait a minute, Roger. Are you sure you got the right bottle?
Oh, sure, boss. The druggist typed your name on the label. He wrote, "This medicine's for Jack Benny, star of stage, screen, radio, and television 2 weeks from now if I mix the prescription right."
Well, I don't care if he mixed it right or not. I'm not taking any more medicine. In fact, I'm well enough right
Yoo-hoo,
now.
Yoo-hoo! Anybody home?
Oh, Mr. Kitchell!
Hello, Mr. Kitzel.
Hello, Mr. Wilson. It's nice to see you out from the freeway.
Gee, I thought I made up a joke. Well, Mr. Kitzel, it's really good of you to drop in and pay me a visit.
Well, Mr. Benny, I came here not only to cheer you up, but my wife sent you this bowl of homemade soup. See?
Oh, say, that looks wonderful. What's in it?
What's in it? Carrots is in it, peas is in it, string beans is in it, a pound of tomatoes is in it, a cup of barley, some chives, onion, potatoes, and one matzo ball is in it.
A matzo ball?
Yeah, in the shape of a shamrock in honor of St. Patrick's.
Oh, yes. Look, a green matzo ball.
Isn't it? Just take a sample of this soup, Mr. Benny. You never tasted anything so delicious.
Okay. Mmm.
You look better already.
See, that is good soup, Mr. Kitzel. But all the ingredients you mentioned were vegetables. Yet I thought there was a slight flavor of meat in there.
That's because for 2 hours my wife was stirring it with a ham hock.
What?
She's from the South, you know.
No.
Sure, no. Well, Mr. Benny, I got to be running along now. I hope you'll all be well soon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kitzel, and thanks very much for the soup.
Oh, you're welcome.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Kitzel.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
You know, Don, that was so nice of Mr. Don, what are you doing with that radio?
Well, Jack, I know how anxious you are to hear the news, so I'm trying to get it.
Oh.
And now for the weather report. Due to low barometric pressure areas over the Pacific Ocean being neutralized by the warm moisture belt flowing in from the Mojave Desert, precipitation could be evident in the coastal areas with a high of 80 degrees being expected. Those who live in Oregon may have early morning fogs. If you're in Northern California, you may expect drizzles. If you're in Southern California, the low will be 52, and if you're in Arizona, I'll follow you. If you're in Minnesota...
Turn that off, will you, Don?
I'll be there too.
All I want is a little news, and I keep getting...
You want me to get that, Jack?
No, no, I can reach the phone. Hello? Oh, hello, Mary. How are you feeling? That's good. Yes, I'm getting along much better. My picture in Collier's? Sure, I saw it. You're right, Mary. They really did play up my blue eyes. But I think they overdid it. Two would have been enough. Yeah. Well, Mary, I'm glad you called. Is there anything you need, anything you want, anything I can do for you? Just name it. What? Of course you don't get paid when you're off. And you can stop that coughing. Well, look, Mary,
Jack, let me talk to Mary.
She hung up when I told her she doesn't get paid. I can't understand...
Oh, boss, the nurse is here!
Oh, all right, show her in. Watch this, Don. I'll use a little flattery, and she'll let me get out of bed.
Here's your nurse, boss.
Well, well, well. A man certainly is lucky to get a nurse as pretty as you.
Hmm, they didn't tell me this was a mental case.
Well, Look, nurse, I was just trying to be nice.
Nice or not, I get 12 bucks a day, so stop flashing those blue eyes and shut up.
But, nurse...
Now open your mouth so I can take your temperature.
It's open, it's open.
Wider. Wider.
Why do I have to open my mouth so wide?
I forgot my thermometer, so I took this one off the wall.
Well, you can put it back. I'm getting out of bed.
Oh, boss, your doctor is here.
Well, thank heaven. Show him in.
This way, doctor.
Well, how's the little patient today?
Wait a minute. You're not my regular doctor.
No, Dr. Christian couldn't come. He had a rehearsal.
Now, look, doctor, I feel perfectly all right. I want to get up.
Yes, yes, by all means. I think it'll do you a lot of good.
But, doctor, you can't let him up. Look at his face.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that. It's spring. Everything is turning green.
Now, look, doctor.
Now, on second thought, it may be safer if I give you an examination. First, I'll listen to your heart. Take off your pajama top.
My pajama top?
Yes. Here, I'll help you off with it.
Doctor!
Well, a contour chest. It looks so comfortable.
Doctor, stop sitting on me. Now, doctor.
I'm sorry.
Now, look, doctor, I'm almost well. Why don't you just give me a shot of penicillin, and I'll be okay.
A shot of what?
Penicillin.
What's that?
What do you mean, what's that? It's one of those new wonder drugs like oromycin.
Oro what?
Myosin. For heaven's sake, doctor, what college did you go to anyway?
You just ask me for a haircut and you'll find out.
What?
Scissors?
Scissors.
Comb?
Comb.
Tonic?
Tonic.
Get out of here, both of you. Do you hear me? Now, out, out, out. I don't know. I don't know who sent those people anyway. What a doctor and that silly nurse.
Boss, boss, don't excite yourself.
Well, I can't help it. Now I'm so upset, I don't know what to do.
Well, Jack, would you like me to finish reading that book?
No, no, turn on the radio. I still haven't heard the news.
What station?
I don't know. Try any station.
Okay.
Ahora, señoras y señores, para su placer en honor de esta ocasión, les traemos a ustedes una canción popular. Esperemos que les gusta a ustedes.
Dicky Menendez, Fernandez, Gonzalez, Tamales, Sancho, Mepancho, Polaris,
John, finish reading the book to me. That's... Ladies and gentlemen, the very best Easter gift of all is the support you give through Easter Seals to children who need your help. These seals provide medical care, nursery centers, and many other things that are needed. So give and give generously to the Easter Seal Agency in your community, or send your contributions to Crippled Children, Box 779, Chicago, Illinois. Thank you.
We'll be back in just a moment.
And now let's join a St. Patrick's Day parade.
St. Patrick's Day, we sing and dance and greet each other gaily and reach for a milder Lucky Strike instead of a shillelagh. I always reach for Lucky's, cause Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
The shamrock is a sign of luck and so is Lucky Strike. For every puff brings better taste to guy and gal alike.
Sure, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
Be happy, go lucky, be happy, go lucky strike, be happy, go lucky strike today.
Yes, be happy, go lucky, because Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. Now that is a fact. For fine tobacco and only fine tobacco always gives you that perfect combination of real mildness and rich taste. And LSMFT, Lucky Strike, means fine tobacco. So if for any reason you are not completely happy with your present cigarette, if it's too mild or too strong, switch to Lucky Strike for complete smoking enjoyment. You'll get mildness, smoothness, and taste all in one great cigarette, Lucky Strike. You'll agree, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette. So be happy, go lucky. Make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Be happy, go lucky strike today.
Remember, Lucky's taste better than any other cigarette.
As the rescue ship slowly sailed from the island, Bert, Ann, and Valerie looked back toward...
Excuse me, Don. Hello? What's that, operator? A transatlantic call from London, England? Put him on. Hello? How are you? Been doing a lot of sightseeing, huh? Oh, that's wonderful. You're coming back on the Queen Elizabeth? Oh, you love that. It certainly sounds like you're having a wonderful time. Goodbye. Now, Don, continue reading.
Jack, I don't mean to be inquisitive, but that call you just got from London, who was it?
It was the wrong number. Now, continue. Continue reading.
Now, wait a minute, Jack. If it was a wrong number, why did you take the call?
How often can you talk to London for nothing? You know.
Jack, if you weren't sick, I'd punch you right in the nose.
Read the book, will you? Read the book.
To send your contributions to Crippled Children, Box 779, Chicago, Illinois. Be sure to hear Dennis Day in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show that follows immediately. The Jack Benny Show is heard by our armed forces overseas through facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
From Hollywood, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevalier, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Robert North, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp and his music, yours truly, Bill Foreman, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Most men who have found the right woman are content to settle down to a life of happiness. But there comes a time in every man's life when he asks himself this question.
Why did I ever get married?
What's the matter, Claude? You ain't happy here?
Certainly. Happy as a bird dog. No, I didn't mean that, Alice. That's nothing to do with you. I guess it's just the weather. Spring is in the air. And, well, it makes me want to feel free to roam. I want to shake my shackles.
Go ahead and shake them. But be careful. The last time you shook them, you almost fell apart.
Please. Well, honey, it's just that this time of year, I feel like a little colt who wants to scamper through the fields. I want to be like the mighty eagle soaring amid the lofty crags. Are like the nimble little young deer skipping gaily across...
Down, Rex.
First I'm Claude, now I'm Rex.
You'd better forget it, Phil. You just got up and you can't think clearly yet.
I'm not going to forget it. Why can't I be like a nimble young deer, free to roam the forest?
Because you're a middle-aged goat and I'm keeping you home.
But, honey, when I feel spring in my bones, I just have to get away for a while.
You feel that way every year. All you need is a spring tonic.
Well, all right. Maybe that'll help. Go make me a bourbon and molasses.
Bourbon and molasses? I don't think you have the right combination.
Okay, forget the molasses. Make it with ginger ale.
Phil, why is it that every once in a while you want to get away?
Well, it's not just me, honey. Every man wants to get away once in a while. He likes to go fishing or hunting with the boys.
Oh, every man doesn't feel that way.
Well, I tell you, they do. And if you don't believe me, just ask another man.
All right. I'll ask my brother. Willie, come in here, please.
Oh, you're asking a good kid.
Well, Willie's a man, isn't he?
For the sake of argument, yes.
But I meant a real he-man.
He is a he-man.
What do you want, Alice? I'm very busy playing with the children.
Well, I just want to ask you a question.
Just a moment. Phyllis, don't stand too close to the plate. And watch the batter.
Hey, Willie, are you teaching the girls how to play baseball?
No, I'm showing them how to bake a cake. I don't want Phyllis to knock the batter off the plate.
I know it.
What do you want, sis?
Well, Phil and I were having an argument, and we want your opinion.
I agree with Alice. You're wrong, Philip.
I didn't even hear the argument. How do you know I'm wrong?
Well, you're never right, and even if you were, I wouldn't admit it.
Now, Willie, let's be fair about this. I want you to consider Phil's point of view as well as mine. And I don't expect you to side with me just because I happen to be the generous sister who supports you.
Now that you've bribed the jury, let's present the case.
Well, Willie, Phil claims that every married man wants to desert his family and run away with a native girl to Bali High.
What Bali High? What native girl? All I want to do is to go fishing in Lake Henshaw with a white woman. I mean the boy. Willie, doesn't every man get spring fever about this time of year and want to get off by himself?
That's right, Philip. I think it's particularly good for married men. I think every married man should get away from his wife for a few times.
Willie, that's enough.
Let this doll talk. Go ahead, you precious little brother-in-law.
Alice, a marital vacation will do you good, too. Every wife should get away from a husband. Particularly a husband like this.
All right. I'll admit I'm a difficult man to live with. Charming, but difficult. And Alice, I think you're entitled to a rest away from me.
I agree with you, Phil.
You do?
Yes. And I think it's very sweet of you to offer to stay home with the children while I go to Palm Springs.
Tilt! Alice, do you mean that you'd go to Palm Springs and leave your family, shirk your responsibilities, just so you can have a good time? Who you think you are, me? I'm the one who's supposed to go away.
Phil, I forbid you to go.
You forbid me? It is to laugh. Look, if I want to go, I'll go. I'll just get up like this and walk across the room, open the door, and goodbye.
Are you going to let him go?
He won't get very far. He walked into the hall closet. Well, Phil, I thought you were going.
Too dark out. I'll wait till tomorrow morning. Smog gets thicker in this town every day.
Philip, you walked into the hall closet.
Oh. Well, this time I'm walking out the front door like this.
Hey, Willie, he really went. I didn't think he'd... Oh, Phil, I knew you'd come back.
How far can I go without my pants? Why didn't somebody tell me these things? Forgot I'm still in my PJs.
Now, Phil, get dressed and forget the whole silly thing. Now, excuse me, I have some work to do.
Yeah. Forget it, she says. She dismisses me as if I were nothing at all. That's a trouble with women. We never should have given them the right to vote. Women should be kept in their place. They belong in a kitchen. Come in. If I had my way, I'd put all the women in the world in one big kitchen.
Where is this kitchen, Curly? I'm in the mood to do a little cooking.
Oh, hello, Frankie.
What's bothering you?
Oh, it's Alice. Whenever I want to do something, she forbids it.
What do you mean she forbids it? This is a free country. You're a citizen. There ain't nobody in the world who can tell you what to do. Except Petrillo.
I might just as well be married to him. No, I don't want to go that far. Look, Frankie, I'd like your opinion.
Well, I'll be glad to help you. I'm known as a worldly man, wise and sophisticated, a deep thinker and quite a philosopher. What do you want to know?
What do you think of women?
Rough.
Thank Thank you, Errol Flynn. Look, Remley, I'm not talking about women. I'm talking about wives. I'm mad at Alice.
Why are you mad at her?
I'll tell you why I'm mad at her. She thinks that just because she's pretty, soft, and smells nice, and when she gets into my arms, she's so cuddly and sweet and nice to hold
And you're mad at her?
Mad? Who, me? Mad? How are you going to be mad?
All right, Curly. Come on, snap out of it. Think of the nasty thing she does.
Oh, yeah, nasty. Well, you know that I told her that I want to go away with the guys for just a few days for a little harmless fun, and she won't believe me? I can't understand it.
Neither can I. I believe you, and I know you're not telling the truth.
Look, Remley, I am telling the truth. I thought that you and I and a couple of the guys could, well, just get in the car and go away for a nice rest. You know, to someplace that's peaceful and quiet.
I got just the place, Curly. Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is quiet.
Yeah. I know a place that just put in a sponge rubber crap table. You can't hear the dice.
All right, right. Come out of it. What's the use? If you don't want me to go, I'll just have to stay home and be miserable.
Oh, don't be so discouraged. We'll think of a way out. And cheer up.
How can I cheer up when I feel like a prisoner?
What's easy? What do you usually do to cheer yourself up?
I sing.
Why do I keep leading with my chin?
He carries her picture in his pocket. 'Twas taken the day he went to sea. He carries her picture in his locket, though she is as ugly as can be. Oh, what a face.
Oh, what a face.
It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace
to be showing it in any public place. One morning he took her to a pig farm. He told her to wait down by the rail. But when he returned, he couldn't find her. The farmer had put her up for sale. Oh, what a face.
Oh, what a face.
It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace
to be showing it in any public place. She always liked to watch the horses when they were racing at the track, until the day she wandered near the stable and the jockey threw a saddle on her back. Oh, what a map.
Oh, what a map.
It's a mishap.
It's a mishap
to be showing it in any public trap. Her father arranged for her to marry some fella who had never seen the bride. But when she raised the veil to let him kiss her, he screamed and had committed suicide.
Oh, what a face.
Oh, there's Mary.
It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace to be showing it in any public place. He carried her picture in his pocket. He kept it till his ship went down at sea. 'Twas then that he took the little locket and packed it in a box and set it free. And now that picture in the locket is floating around from sea to sea. And if by chance you ever find it, don't open it up or you will see that awful face. It's a disgrace to be showing it in any public place. Well, Frankie, now I feel better.
Well, that's understandable. Having a good cry like that always makes a person. Hey, Curly, I thought of a way to get you out of the house for a few days.
You did? How?
Start shaking. You're about to have a nervous breakdown.
Nervous break? Yeah. That should spring me, huh? Okay, let's go in and see Alice.
Not so fast. This has to be done subtly. Now, I'll set it up for you. I'll go in and tell Alice that you're acting a little irrational.
Yeah?
Then you come in, and when we speak to you, don't make too much sense. Let your mind wander a little bit.
Got it.
Yeah, good. I'll go in to Alice. Don't you come in for a couple of minutes.
No, I won't.
Yeah, this ought to work like a charm. You'll never suspect.
Oh, Alice, where are you?
Well, right here, Frankie. Where's Phil?
I left him in the other room. Alice, I want to talk to you about him. I don't want to alarm you, but I think he's on the verge of a mental breakdown.
How can you tell?
Well, when he talks, he doesn't make sense.
He never did.
True. But he seems to be getting worse. His mind wanders.
Oh, Frankie, you're just imagining things.
No, I'm not. Why? When I was talking to him just now... Oh, here he comes. Hiya, Curly.
Oh, hello, Frankie. Wasn't I just talking to you in the hall?
Yeah.
That's funny. I could have sworn I was. Oh, well, it's a small world. Alice, where are my pinking shears?
What do you want with pinking shears?
I thought I'd make scallops for dinner.
See what I mean, Alice?
That doesn't prove anything. He always tells bad jokes. You feel all right, Phil?
Oh, of course I do. I love hospital beds, don't you? Oh, on a day like this, it's so good to be alive. Don't you wish you were, Frankie?
Phil, you're acting very peculiar. The way you talk, I can't understand you.
Well, you could if you took your snowshoes off.
Phil, maybe you'd better go upstairs and lie down.
Oh, so that's it. You want to be alone with Mr. Klingfinger here. How dare you come into my house and make love to my wife behind my back?
But, Phil...
Quiet, John. I'm speaking to Marcia. You have a lot of nerve sneaking in.
I didn't sneak in.
Then how come you're disguised as a zebra? One thing I can't stand, it's a woman who steals another man's wife. Anyone for tennis?
Curly, you're overdoing it.
I can't stop.
Phil, honey, sit down and I'll get you a drink.
Oh, goody. I would love a cup of tea.
Tea?
Oh, he really blew a fuse.
I'll pour the tea. How many lumps, Frankie?
Two.
Got in the head, Morris.
No, I don't believe I want any tea.
Now, nonsense. You just hold your cup still while I climb up on the edge and dive in. Ooh, it's so refreshing to be a tea bag.
Have you been a tea bag long?
Oh, yeah. Mother was an orange and father was a pico. Who are you?
I'm the guy who's sorry he started this whole thing.
Oh, I know. You're Mr. Hess, who has a department store in Allenstown, Pennsylvania. How are your escalators running?
All right, Phil, I catch on. If you want to go away for 2 days that badly, you can go.
I can? Oh, Alberta, you're a peach. Has the gardener sprayed you lately?
I kind of like this kind of talk. This might be the beginning of a new kind of a thing for me. I might be...
Shut up.
Hey, maybe there is something wrong with him. Maybe he ought to stay home and rest.
Oh, no, Alice. He needs medical treatment. And there's only one man to take him to. Dr. Schiller.
Who is he?
The house doctor at the Flamingo in Las Vegas.
I never heard of him.
You never heard of Abe Schiller, world famous neurologist and blackjack dealer?
What? Alice, we're not going to Las Vegas.
Now, Phil, I don't care where you go as long as you behave yourself.
Hey, Rem, did you hear that? We can do whatever we want for 2 days. No family responsibility.
Yeah, no kids to look after, no wife to report to, nobody to tell me when I come in, when I go out, no...
What am I getting excited about? I'm single. I can do this anytime I want.
One thing, Frankie, I don't want you to lead Phil into any of your bad habits.
Whatever do you mean?
I don't want you to show him how to gamble or teach him how to drink.
Teach him how to... That's like trying to show Einstein how to add.
Don't worry, honey. Frankie's not going to lead me astray because there's going to be no drinking on this trip. We're just going to get in the car and ride along top down.
Bottoms up.
Here's mud in your
eyes. No!
On this trip, I think you
want to... Now, wait a minute, Alice. This is my trip, and I don't want it spoiled by a wife telling me what to do. For 2 days, let's pretend we're not married.
All right. We'll do it your way. Starting right now, we're not married.
Good. Oh, boy, I can't wait to get started on this trip. Hey, Alice, where are the keys to the car?
In my purse.
Well, let me have them. I want to get the car out.
Oh, I couldn't let you have the car.
Why not?
It belongs to my husband. He's gone away for 2 days. You'll have to wait until he gets back and ask...
All right. You can keep the car. We don't need your old car anyway. We'll use Frankie's car. That's okay with you, ain't it, Remley?
Sure, that's okay with me. But we might have a little trouble getting it away from my partner.
What partner?
Seaboard Finance Company.
It's in again? It seems like they always have it.
Yeah, they're very repossessive.
Yeah, no. Look, we can't go anyplace without a car, and we've got... Alice, darling.
Sorry, stranger.
But, Alice, we need a car. Oh, won't you please...
Well, I might let you have it if you do something for me.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
Ask me to sing.
All right. Honey, will you please sing? But only do one chorus. We got to get started.
Yes.
I only want what's the best thing for you, and the best thing for you would be me. I've been convinced, after thinking it through, that the best thing for you would be me. Every day to myself I say, point the way, what will it be? I ask myself, what's the best thing for you? And myself and I seem to agree that the best thing for you would be me.
I know that I only want what's the best thing for you, and the best thing for you would be me.
Every day to myself I say, point the way, what'll it be? I ask myself, what's the best thing for you? And myself and I seem to agree that the best thing for you, the very best thing for you, the best thing for you would be me.
Sing. Now, can I have the car?
No.
Well, why not?
I didn't like the way you listened.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Come on, Curly. I got a lot of friends. One of them will lend us his car. Come on. Sorry, Curly. I guess our trip's off. Tried all my friends, and none of them would loan me a car.
Well, no wonder. None of your friends owned a car. Half of them didn't even have shoes.
They're not allowed to wear shoes in their business. It's unsanitary to press grapes with your shoes on.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought they were wearing purple socks. Hey, Remley, we can't call this trip off. It ain't every day a married man gets a parole like this. Look, we just got to get a car.
Yeah. Hey, Curly, look.
What?
In front of the market. Julius's delivery truck.
Frankie,
What
fool scheme have you got in your conniving little mind? And remember, you talked me into it.
That delivery truck would be perfect for a fishing trip.
That's right, but there ain't no sense talking to that little goon. He ain't gonna let you borrow nothing. He'd give you nothing.
Who said anything about asking him?
Well, we can't deliberately take it.
Suppose it was an accident. Suppose we accidentally got in the truck, and it accidentally started to roll down the hill, and we couldn't stop it until it got to Lake Henshaw. Wouldn't be our fault, would it?
True. Yeah, but there's only one trouble.
What's that?
It ain't parked on a hill.
We can push it till we find one.
Friendly, I think we should ask permission.
No, that'll kill it. We'll just borrow it and pay him for it when we get back. Now, come on, no one's around. Let's get in the truck.
Hey, Remley, I don't know if we ought to...
Will you? Well, I wonder where the keys are. They're not in the ignition. Look in the glove compartment, Curly.
They're not in the glove compartment.
Now look in my pocket, you car thieves!
June, what are you doing here?
What am I doing here? It's my truck.
Truck? Ain't this the Fairfax bus? I love transfers, don't you, Mr. Hess?
All right, we're through with that routine.
Oh, yeah?
I've been hiding in the back of the truck waiting for you guys.
Waiting? How'd you know we were coming?
The Harris Remley alarm went off.
What are you talking about?
As soon as you guys get within 50 feet of this block, bells ring, lights flash, and every storekeeper is alerted for a catastrophe. What are you creeps up to now?
Creeps? Well, we want to go on a fishing trip, and we want to borrow your truck.
And if you don't lend it to us, we won't be able to go.
Oh, well, that's different, fellas. I know what fishing means to a guy, because I like to fish myself. Makes you feel good to get outdoors and forget the turmoil of everyday life. So if you want my truck, fellas, there's only one thing I can say.
What?
You ain't getting it!
Hey, Curly, you hold him. Let me back the truck over him. Just once.
Why waste the gas?
Look, Curly, why bother asking the kid? Let's just take the truck.
You can't do that, fellas. Remember, I got the key.
Where have you got it?
In my mouth.
In that case, we'll just turn you upside down and shake it out of you.
I have to tell him where it is yet. Get away from me, you guys.
Grab his feet, Curly. Turn him upside down.
Got him.
Don't go me. Don't do this to me.
Shake him good, Frankie.
Yeah.
Shake
him. Fellas, please let me go. Stop going to me, little head on the sidewalk.
You better stop, Remley. We're cracking the cement.
Okay, let him drop.
What's the matter with you guys? You crazy or something?
Now, don't get excited. What's the matter with you, kid? Can't you take a joke?
A joke? I use my skull for a pneumatic drill and I should yak it up yet.
Quiet. No sense of humor. Remley, did the key fall out of his mouth?
Let me look. Yeah, here's the key ring light. No, these are his braces.
Julius, won't you please let us take your truck? We may go about things in the wrong way, but deep down, kid, we really love you.
Oh, yeah, you prove that every week. I really like you guys, and to prove there's no hard feelings, I'm going to help you.
You going to let us have your truck?
I can't let you have this one. It's brand new. But I can let you have our old truck.
Oh, gee, thanks, kid. Where is it?
It's that black truck parked in front of this one.
Hey, Julius, we really appreciate this, and I want you to
Stop yapping and drive it away before I change my mind.
Come on, Remley, we better go. Let's hurry.
You'll find the keys in the ignition. Have a nice vacation.
Thanks again, Julius.
Well, there we go. Wonder how long it'll be before the cops miss that patrol wagon.
This is Phil again. This year, the Red Cross Drive takes on a new and even greater importance. The Red Cross must not only bear its responsibility for any civilian disasters, it must also bear a new burden, preparedness, for any or all demands in this continuing world crisis. And the blood program is urgent for our wounded in Korea. Give Red Cross a bigger place in your budget this year. Thanks. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
This program is produced and directed by Paul Phillips. The part of Frankie Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, and Julius was played by Walter Tetley.
Theater Guild presents a five-star presentation later. Now, Hedda Hopper on NBC.